business to take care of before we begin our worship experience. You may have noticed last Sunday morning we had quite a few youth that were missing here. We were all on our fall retreat at Fort Caswell last weekend, and we had some exciting times of worship together. Very exciting that four youth, during one of our worship times together, chose to say they want to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of their life. And I thought that was outstanding to see and experience and be a part of. And timing has worked out for three of the four youth to be baptized this morning. So we want to make that official. And I'd like to ask Luke and Brandon and Lydia if you would stand here right next to me. We're going to have you presented before the church. Y'all can just stand up right here next to me. We have Luke and Lydia and Brandon. We'd like to make a motion that after their baptism, they are accepted into church membership this morning. Amen. Now let's everybody agree with that by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is a very exciting time for you all and several others that we have that will be baptized this morning. So let's be in prayer for them all this morning as we celebrate this time together. And I'll ask Leonard this time to open us up with a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to be in Your house. And Lord, we thank You that You are mindful of us and that You are caring for us and that we are not left to our own devices. Lord, we thank You for these that have come and that they will be in Your care and they have accepted You and that they will be in heaven rejoicing with us when Your appointed time comes. Lord, we pray for these people, these youth, these children, and Lord, we look forward to their service in the future. Lord, we pray for our church that we will be mindful of the worship necessary to be given to You as God, our Holy Father. Lord, we pray that we would not come together for entertainment of ourselves, but that we would come together, that we would give You worship as an offering. Lord, we pray for the coming days that we might indeed be concerned about those who are not counted among the saved, and we pray that we will, after the service, go out and consider that the mission field. Lord, when we worship, we should feel compelled to go and bring others into the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now as we commune with You and worship as a corporate group. And we pray Thy blessings upon us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I would like to welcome everybody to Flat Springs Baptist Church for our worship service this morning. If you are a guest with us, we are glad that you are here among us, and we would love to have a record of you being here. We have guest cards, and they're located right in front of you in the pew. If you have never filled one of those out, whether this is your first time visiting or several times you have visited, please fill one of those out and place it in the offering plate. We'll take care of the rest this Sunday. We would just love to have a record of your attendance with us. We have several announcements to make sure we're all on the same page to go over. Tomorrow, the family ministry, which is all of us as the church family, are invited to Jonesboro Heights Baptist Church between 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. If you can come out during any portion of that time, your help is greatly needed and will be appreciated. All of the shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child will be packed into trailers to be sent to the main location in North Carolina for them to be sent out throughout the world. And we need a lot of hands to help with loading those shoeboxes up. I know we as a church have already delivered several ourselves, but this is the central location for many surrounding churches. So whether small or older, we need as much help as possible during that time period. Also, FSYC needs a little help after service to have some of the furniture off the stage here removed. Awana leaders, especially the men, are asked to be at church at 3:30 to set up for the live nativity, and that will be next week starting at 5 p.m. That will be a wonderful time for our children and youth to visually see the Christmas celebration, which is the birth of Christ, and how we can depict that and remember that as we start to celebrate Christmas. And remember that tonight, our Thanksgiving service starts at 6:30. I hope everyone can make it out for a time of Thanksgiving and celebration. Do we have any other announcements this morning before we begin our worship service? Okay. Hearing none, let's have a word of prayer again. Let's bow our heads. God, we once again come before You, excited to see how You are among us, ready to breathe life into us, new life, each and every day, Lord. We are thankful to be gathered together, called together as Your church. And Lord, as we celebrate those who have professed Your Son as their Lord and Savior, we are excited and want to continue to pray for their journey that is now beginning in a new life. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Jesus, the Lord and Savior of each of us who are believers, came to John. And John said, and I know how John felt, because I feel it now. He said, I am so unworthy. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. And so Jesus, predicting his own death and burial and resurrection, waded out into the River Jordan. And there John the Baptist baptized him. And I tell that story because I want those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. Because it is said in our scripture that when Jesus came up out of the water, that the heavens were open. And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and lit upon his shoulder. And a voice was heard from heaven. And that voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to listen. You're about to hear that voice 8 times. Listen. Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to his command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mason, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brandon, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lydia, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to His command, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Matt, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and in obedience to that command, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people said, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we have come into your presence and we have heard eight proclaim their faith by following you obediently into the waters of baptism, and a journey has begun. Remind us as a church that is a tremendous responsibility for us, that we might help them to grow and be all that you have created them to be. God, you bless them. And now as we continue to worship you in this moment, may you continue to speak to us clearly about our walk. Remind us of our baptism and our commitments that we made to you. And may we renew that desire and that commitment. In Christ's name we pray.
Page 364 in your hymnal, Come Holy Spirit, Love Divine. Let's all stand.
Make sure to give just a few more moments for all of our children to come down for our children's sermon. There's plenty of time if you want to make your way down here. Plenty of room. I always love seeing you all come down and getting to spend our time together to see how God is going to teach us something on Sunday mornings during our worship time. Give everyone just a few more moments. I love seeing this. And I have a question for you all this morning. You know, I enjoy playing games, whether it's a board game maybe or a card game. Games can be fun, right? So I want to hear, what are your favorite games that you like to play? Your favorite game, yeah. Hide and go seek, that's a fun game. I love that game, yeah. Football, great game. Baseball, this is good, yeah. And basketball, that's right. Tag, that's a great game, absolutely. Dodgeball, I love it. I actually saw professional dodgeball on TV a couple days ago. I couldn't believe that existed, but I saw that. So you love playing a lot of games, right? Well, have you ever heard of the quiet game? Y'all ever heard of that? Y'all actually said yes. Wow. I can't believe that. That's a hard game. That's one of the hardest games ever, right? The quiet game is simple but hard. See, everybody has to be quiet. That means you can't even giggle. You can't laugh out loud. You can't even whisper. You have to be completely quiet. And if you do say something or make a noise, you're out. And the last person that's quiet wins, right? That's kind of hard to do, even for a few minutes. Could you imagine doing it for 9 months? That'd be a really long time being quiet, right? We're actually going to learn about somebody in the Bible this morning that was quiet for that long because they were made to be quiet for that long. We're going to learn about Zechariah, and he's a very important person in the Bible for us to learn about because him and his wife Elizabeth gave birth to a boy named John, and we know him as John the Baptist, and he's the one that baptized Jesus, and he told all sorts of people about who Jesus was before Jesus was even born. And so it's important to know his story and his parents' story. So listen to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5, and pay attention to Zechariah and what happens to him. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and he and his wife from the daughters of Aaron, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both older. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen to enter the temple of the Lord. And a whole multitude of people were in prayer outside, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. So an angel appeared to Zechariah, standing right at the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and he was scared. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will not drink wine or anything else, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as for a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of righteousness." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this is for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is also old." The angel answered him and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring to you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place and your son is born, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the proper time." So Zechariah, he had an angel come and talk to him, and God told him, "You will give birth, you and your wife, to a boy named John." And we know him as John the Baptist. But Zechariah really didn't believe the angel right away. So the angel said, "Well, I'm going to help you remember." And he couldn't speak for 9 months to remember that when God tells us something, we're always supposed to believe it. Okay? So let's pray about that this morning. God, we are so thankful that you continue to talk to us when we pray to you and listen to you. And God, we want to begin to really remember the son, your son, Jesus Christ, and his birth, and how people came before him to tell us about him. And help us to remember that this week. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
And as our children are returning to their seats, we would invite you to open your bulletin. You'll see our prayer concerns that are there. We do want to remember the family of Larry Coble. The memorial service was here yesterday. That's Michael Glynn's father. Also, you see the name John Peoples. That's a neighbor of Randy Keck, and he'll be actually sharing some thoughts during that service today. We want to keep him in our prayers. Donnie Hickman fell and broke his shoulder. We want to keep Donnie in our prayers. And also, Ed Sloan has moved to Parkview. We want to keep Ed in our prayers in a very special way. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful for this day. We are excited on this, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, when we of all people have much to be thankful for. We are grateful for your gift of eternal life. We lift these names before you and others that are on our heart and mind and ask, O God, that you might bless as there is need. And Lord, we know that we can depend upon you for all our need. And now, Lord, would you go with us as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. May you continue to speak to us that we might leave this place different, having been in your presence, experiencing your power, and filled with your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We certainly have a lot to be thankful for in this country. And if we have a lot to be thankful for, we should testify to others what the Lord has done for us, and to bring others into the fold and let them know that they can receive blessings as well.
Somebody ought to testify. For God I live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
The Hebrew boys can testify how God took the heat out of the fiery fire. Come on, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lions were made pillows for my head to lay.
Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, and somebody ought to testify. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
And if we need to testify, we need to be committed. Come, all Christians, and be committed. Page 604, let's all stand. 1st, 2nd, and last verses. Come, all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for him more fitted. Tune your hearts with one accord. Come into in praise and adoration.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to come into your house for fellowship and to worship you, Lord. Please be with and comfort those who could not be here today. And please take this offering to glorify your kingdom. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
more song. That is Happy Birthday to our pastor.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gary. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That was sweet. I love to hear you sing. I'm just glad we didn't go to that second verse, how old are you? What a wonderful, wonderful birthday present to be able to go into the baptismal waters with eight people today. If this isn't my best birthday, it's definitely in the top two or three. And thank for each candidate. I think my record is 9. Wouldn't it be great if in 2014 we beat that record 3 or 4 times? Wouldn't that be great? We just kept those waters filled, people coming to know Christ. That is indeed what we are called to do. It's good to see the house full. I thought about just preaching for 4 hours, and that would be like 8 Sundays in a row the house was full. And I thought, nah, that probably wouldn't work. But it is good to see you out. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday before Thanksgiving, it is good to see you there. Please remember our service tonight at 6:30. There's going to be some very interesting history shared about our church, and I think you'll want to come and be a part of that. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Psalms 118. You can all take a deep breath, because if you've looked at the outline, you know I've left one whole point off. You see, that's only 2 points this morning. I bet somebody figured that out too, didn't you? I knew that 8 sermons were going to be preached, and all I could do would be add a little bit to them. And so I am grateful for that. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? We're going to read the first 7 verses of Psalms 118, and then we're going to skip over to verse 19 and read the rest of the chapter. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper, and I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. And now look with me at verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Read that last verse with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are good, and we are grateful to be recipients of your goodness. God, would you bless us now as we turn our attention to how praise and thanksgiving come together because of your enduring love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our closing hymn this morning is page 183. I have found a friend, oh, such a friend. That will be our hymn of decision. Praise and thanksgiving are way down the road, but they're synonyms one of another. When you praise, you're giving thanks. And when you give thanks, you're giving praise. Today we are called to praise the Lord. We had the opportunity to go this past Friday night and hear Ben play. And Ben did a marvelous job. And we worshiped in a different style. Elaine, are we ready to sing? We were blessed. We were blessed by the singing. A different tradition than mine. But oh, it was so authentic. And praise made me wonder how I praise God. How do I express the very depths of my heart? I love to hear the instruments play. And I'm able to praise God when I hear them. I love to hear the singing of God's people. Praise God. I wonder if Thanksgiving would be different if we praise God more. I think it would. I think it would make a difference. I know it would. I wonder if I thank God more often, if I might praise Him more. Why should we praise Him? I'm glad you ask. He tells us in the very beginning, He doesn't want there to be any secret, and He echoes it over and over. You can hear the great congregation of Israel as this song would be sung, and you could hear those voices coming together. For His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Say that with me. His steadfast love endures forever. Oh, that must have been what it sounded like, only magnified by the number of voices. He tells us in verse 5 that there are problems that are going to come. Out of my distress, he says, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me. The Lord is on my side. I like that. I like what Abe Lincoln said when he was asked if during the Civil War he thought God was on his side or on the side of the Union Army during the war. And Abe's answer was powerful. He said, the real question is not whether God is on my side, it's whether I'm on God's side. Today, praise is for those of us who know God is on our side and for us to claim we are. Those eight stood today and said whose side they were on. They proclaimed it in the most powerful way. Wasn't it amazing to watch them go down into those waters of faith? Wasn't it amazing to watch them come back up? And remember the truth that in our faith, we are new creations. The old is passed away. And we saw new young men and young women come up from those waters. Problems are going to happen, aren't they? We know they're a reality, but yet God's steadfast love endures forever. Corrie Ten Boom watched her sister starve to death in a concentration camp. And one time, and when her sister was so weak, Corrie said, Betsy, I think God's forsaken us. And Betsy, with a very weakened voice, said, no. And guess what verse she quoted? Psalms 118:1. She reminded Corrie Ten Boom, God's steadfast love endures forever. And I can tell you on the authority of God's word that Betsy is still experiencing God's steadfast love this very moment. Isn't that amazing? Knowing that we are loved eternally makes the reality of death itself, okay? You see, eternal life is not just a story. It's just not a relic. It's a reality. We claim that promise not because we're trying to deceive ourselves, but because the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit. I appreciated the quartet singing, "Testify," because God's Spirit tells us there is a greater world waiting for us. And God's love, it changes us. You know, the more I experience God's steadfast love, the more I understand He has a plan for me. I love the story. We sometimes lose sight of in our modern times, in our technological world, we sometimes think we've gone too far. Maybe we've gone beyond God's plan. You ever feel like folks think God's outdated and God's no longer worthy? Just one little story, one quick little story to remind us of a great truth. And I want you to think of the truth of this story. There was a teenage boy, and he was fishing with his granddad. Isn't that a great picture? I used to do that with my granddad. I used to love to take him fishing and him take me fishing. He lived to be 96, and 3 weeks before he died, I got his wheelchair down the pond. I almost put him in the pond, but thank God I didn't. But we caught a bunch of little fish that day, and I just that image of fishing with granddad when I read this story. They were talking, and I know that's what we did too. And as they were talking, the young fellow began to say that there were some problems, that some of the kids in the school had contracted some bad, bad sexually transmitted diseases. And the teen says, "Grandpa, when you were young, you didn't have these kind of problems." And Grandpa just replied, "Nope." He said, "Well, Grandpa, what was it? What did y'all use for safe sex?" And Grandpa said, "A wedding ring." That's God's plan. That's God's plan right there. Isn't that simple? That's so outdated. We're so excited to have all these diseases and all these problems that immoral sex brings to our society. Our society is going to choke on the immorality of itself. And God's got a plan. Simple little plan. His steadfast love endures forever. And when we follow that love, we follow the plan. And when we follow the plan, a lot of the problems that we're trying to figure out how to legislate and how to overcome and how to pass amendments, they just go away. We get back to God's plan. Follow God's steadfast love plan. And a lot of the problems, a lot of the stress that he mentions and will be gone. I love what he says, that people can't destroy it. And even in verse 6, he says, that the Lord is on my side, and what can man do to me? Probably no one in this room has ever been upset with another person, have you? Never been upset. I mean, we're all Christian, amen? No, never upset with anybody, ever, over anything. Yeah, right. People can upset us, can't you? People have all kind of ideas. I read this little piece. It said that a man fell in a pit and couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came by and said, "I feel for you down there." It didn't help him. An objective person came by and said, "You know, it's logical somebody would fall in that pit." And he didn't help him. A self-righteous person came by and said, "Only bad people fall into pits," and he didn't help him. A mathematician came by, and he calculated how deep the pit was. He didn't help him. A news reporter came by and asked, could he have an exclusive story on him in the pit, but he didn't help him. An IRS agent came by, and he asked, "Have you paid taxes on this pit?" That's what I really wanted. And he didn't help him. A self-pitying person came by, and he said, "You haven't seen anything until you see the pit I fell into." A fire and brimstone preacher came by and he said, "You deserve your pit," but he didn't help him. A Christian scientist came by and he said, "The pit's just in your mind," and he didn't help him. A psychologist came by and he said, "Your mother and father are to blame for you being in the pit," but he didn't help him. An optimist came by and he said, "Cheer up, things will get better," but he didn't help him. A pessimist came by and said, "Oh no, it's only going to get worse," but he didn't help him. But then this story says, and then Jesus came by
And seeing the man in the pit, he took him by the hand and he lifted him out of the pit. Isn't that what God does for us? God got us out of the pit, didn't he? Do you remember when God took you out of the pit, when you realized you were a sinner? Each one of these that went into the baptismal waters, they can tell you they recognized and realized that sin was separating them from God. And now they're out of that pit. I know sometimes people can get on my nerves. And when I lived down east, they said we all had that last nerve. You ever heard about that last nerve? Oh, don't get on my last nerve. That's a bad place to be. I sometimes have said to people, God go with you. Because I can't, you know, I just can't go with you anymore. But maybe how I needed to pray was, God, your steadfast love can help me to do all things. That steadfast love. In verse 27 of our text, it says, I love that verse back up in verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. One of my favorite verses, this is a day the Lord has made, I'll rejoice. Save us, we pray in verse 25. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the Lord. My goodness, you would have to be spiritually blind not to understand that cornerstone, that day the Lord has made. That's Christ. That's Christmas. That's what we're fixing to celebrate. And then in verse 27, in case there's any doubt, we don't quite understand it. Listen to what he says in verse 27. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. The light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The sacrifice never has Christmas and Easter been tied in one verse as tightly as they are in 1:18:27. Isn't that amazing? God's love is transforming. His light, it changes everything. It changes us from who we are to who we need to be. One more quick little story. One you may have heard in some variety. I hope it'll make a point. I hope you also will enjoy it. Seems that this fellow who had never been to town, he was of the Amish tradition, but he had to come into town, and so he came on his buggy. He brought his wife with him and his son, and they had to go on this piece of business for the farm to this great big skyscraper. They'd never been in a building like that. And when they got in the building, they were told to take the elevator to before. They didn't know what an elevator was. They didn't understand what that was. And they stood there, and there was this door with lights all above it, transforming lights. Remember that. And all of a sudden, the door just came open, and they saw this fellow push this little lady, old lady in a wheelchair, into the elevator, and doors closed. Folks said, what in the world's happened? That little room, what in the world's she doing in that little room? About all of a sudden, all those lights just started going, you know. They just started going wild. And in about 40 seconds, they were just standing there amazed, watching the lights. And then all of a sudden, they went up, and then all of a sudden, they started coming down. And all of a sudden, the door opened, and there was this beautiful woman standing. I mean, beautiful woman standing. They looked at each other, and the son said, Paul, what happened? He said, I don't know, but go get your ma out of the buggy and bring her in here. Transforming. You know, I sometimes wonder when I come into worship what I look like. And I wonder if that transforming power of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, when it shines its light in me, when I realize and I see the crosses in our window, I love that cross shining down on the world over there, and I realize that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And there's a foundation upon which I can give praise and thanks, and that cross still shines today.
That cross still shines today. His love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. The light is God's goodness. The gift of his light. 8 today said, is shining in me. If there's one here today who would say it's not shining in me. I've never followed in that faithful step of baptism. I've never accepted Christ publicly. The scriptures say if anyone believes and confesses, they'll be saved. Need to do both. Today could be the day. We could get started on that next baptismal pool today. If you've never given your heart to Christ today, his steadfast love woos you. He woos you to come. He invites you to come. He wants you to come. He loves you. And for that, we have tremendous reason to give thanks. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, your steadfast love endures forever. It continues to change me. It changed me today. It's changing me right now in this worship experience. And Lord, it could change me more if I'd let you change me more. Help me to let you change me more. You know every heart and every need that's here in this place right now. Those of us who found a friend in you, as we're about to sing, might need to renew that friendship. And those who've never accepted you as Lord and Savior, then today would be the perfect day, the best day, the greatest day to make that decision. You know every heart. You know every need. And now, Lord, may you transform us as we walked into this building into your presence. When we walk out, may there be a glorious change because of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Our hymn is page 183. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, then the altar is open as we stand together and sing. I'm going to ask you to be seated for just a second, and I'm going to ask the baptismal candidates and their deacons to come. And y'all stand over there for just a minute. I'm going to call them one at a time. I just want you to see them again. Isn't this an exciting day? Y'all come right over here, and then the deacons are coming over here, and I'm going to get right here. And if you would just meet your candidate and then take your candidate over there, Deacons, if you would. And I'm going to line up with you standing there with them if you could. Lauren Bovaire, Mark Jackson is Here, Deacon coming behind you. Come on here, sweetie. He's coming behind you. There he is. And there he's got your certificate. And go right on over that way and stand. We had never had this many, so we don't know how to do this, but we're working on it. We'll figure it out. Jackson and Macy Gaines. Steve Cotton. Right. Peyton Griffin and Lydia Phillips, and Bill Cotton is your deacon. That's good. We may have to. Now we're going to put the rest of them over on that side, okay? And then I'm going to ask y'all to come up, but I'll get there in a minute. Matt Johnson and Brandon McGeehee. Tom Luck is your deacon. Come on, and y'all going to go back that way once you get. Tom, if you'll go with him. And then Bobby Hurley and Luke Shaver. Stand right there. That's very good. I told you I went to a different kind of worship Friday night, and we kept giving the Lord a hand. And I'm not a whole lot about clapping in church. Y'all know that. But I don't know. The Spirit says, we ought to share some love with these folks. Can we give the Lord a hand as we celebrate with them for their baptism? The name last chime, you're going to start hallelujah? Hallelujah? You're going to? Okay, you're not going to do it. Okay, let's stand together. We had a great time. We joke about it, but I tell you, the worship was authentic and real. It was powerful. I enjoyed it so very, 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 very much. What a great day. I'm not going to ask y'all to stand at the back. You've already done that. But you find these folks and you hug them. You tell them how proud you are of them. You promise to love them with that steadfast love. And you promise to be an example for them. They can grow to be what God has in mind for them. That excites me. That excites me. And now, happy Thanksgiving. And as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this day. Go with us now. Be with us when we come back this evening at 6:30 to worship you again. And as we give thanks, Lord, for all your many blessings, especially your steadfast love that showed itself perfectly in Jesus Christ, our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.